Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate. I'm Troy Skinner, the moderator of this program on News Radio. Boy, that was a slip of the tongue. An old radio station I used to work for years ago almost came out of my mouth. News Radio 930 WFMD. That's early. Or it's late, or it depends on your perspective, I suppose. Anyway, we're going to pick up this week where we left off last week. And surprise, surprise, after about 30 minutes of discussing the world's ills, we didn't solve them.
Yeah, we're close.
We're closer than we were anyway, I hope. Our expert panel this week, John Schweitzer is back from Crossroad Valley Chapel. Rabbi Morris Kosman from Beth Shalom Congregation and Khalil El Shazli, the president of the Islamic Society of Frederick. Thank you all for being with us. And in the last episode, the last version of this show, things started to get a little bit heated toward the end, and we started to take a few little rabbit trails here and there. We're going to try to bring it all back together, what the main thrust here is supposed to be, and that is to try to determine what is the truth, meaning what is the truthful, honest-to-goodness view that we each hold. So not that Pastor John Schweitzer from Crossroad Valley Chapel speaks for all of Christianity, and not that Rabbi Kosman speaks for all of Jerusalem
or his
Judaism,
or even for the other rabbis,
right?
Sure.
And not that Khalil speaks for all of Islam. However, you all bring a pretty healthy perspective. You've thought these issues through, obviously, and you bring, I think, a representative view for a lot of people that would call themselves, in John's case, Christians, or in the rabbi's case, Jews, or in Khalil's case, Muslims. So that is kind of the tenor of how we begin this. So we're not going to solve the world's ills. We understand that. But if the three of us, or three of you and me, if I throw myself in there, the four of us, can all have an honest dialogue about the things that we agree on, and perhaps more importantly, the things we disagree on, that's a healthy thing, because we'll come to appreciate the other's perspective and grow personally and hopefully corporately as well through that whole process. A couple of things that came up in the last show, we never came back around to it, we didn't have a chance, but anybody who was listening last week might remember that Khalil threw out a name, Daniel Pipes, which I'm not real familiar with myself. I'm going to admit that. However, I can't help but remember that the rabbi immediately said, well,
yeah,
I agree
back there. Yeah.
With Daniel Pipes.
Yeah, good.
To which Khalil said, ooh, really? So I'm going to need somebody to explain to me in 30 seconds or less what Daniel Pipes should mean to me, and then I want to hear why the rabbi agrees with him. So who is well-equipped to explain who Daniel Pipes is?
Daniel Pipes was he was supposed to be on a committee. I forgot the name of the committee, but the Democrats didn't want him. And so the president appointed him to a special kind of like a private consultant on the Middle East. The Daniel Pipes gives a very realistic view of the dangers of what is taking place in the Islam effort to I'm not going to quote some, like controlling the world. The Islams have a whole different kind of perspective. And again, I'm a product of what I read. I'm a product of what I see on television. And I have my own gut reactions because as I said before, we represent 0.02% of the world population. Muslims, 19%. Christianity, 33%. And therefore, when a Jewish person dies, it's a very important part of our whole being. It's not to say that it's any less when a Christian dies or when a Muslim dies. I just taught in my Hebrew class today. When one saves one soul, he saves a whole. It's like saving the whole world.
Yeah.
Because God created thousands of animals, thousands of birds, but he only created one man. Mm. And the purpose, the teaching of that is to tell you that the whole world is worth being created.
You know, I think it would bear saying that Christians in the United States often lament the fact that nobody pays attention to the persecution of Christians in China or in Africa and other places. And it
or
makes
in
sense
Arab
to me
countries.
Why. Or in Arab countries. And again, it's a supply and demand. Or in Israel, by the way. I've got a couple buddies over there that are victims of that. But the bottom line is that I think, again, that there is a supply and demand, that because there's fewer Jews, when one of them dies, it's a bigger deal. That there's more Islamic people, when one of them dies, though, it still seems to be a bigger deal than when a Christian gets persecuted. And I think it bears out, you know, the facts in the media.
God bless Rachel Corey's soul, who was Rand Bible Dozer in in the Israeli-occupied territory by the Israeli government bulldozer. Anyway, going back to Daniel Pipes. Daniel Pipes is paid very well by our tax dollars. He's appointed by the president to the Middle Eastern Institute for Peace. He promotes hatred. He promotes hatred. He promotes anti-Islamic views. He claims, proclaims himself as an expert in Islam, where his knowledge in Islam is basically zero. He promotes a lot of misconceptions and mistruth. And he also created a website called Campus Watch to defame any Arab, Christian or Muslim professor in any college and university in the United States that have critical views of the state of Israel. And he defames them in every possible way.
I wish what you were saying is true. I truly wish that.
Go to care.
But the problem is,
CAIR.org and search for Daniel Pipes. They have all his history there.
The problem is, Khalil, is that at the same time, you have terrorist activities all over the world. So he may be promulgating.
What does terrorism has to do with Islam?
That's who's doing it.
Let me address that real quick, because clearly, Khalil, the perspective on Islam that you're advocating right now, you're claiming that it would not take up the sword except to defend its own nation, if you will, you know, in just a regular defensive war, self-defense. And you're claiming let me ask this question. I made the attempt in my minute study of the face of the planet to tie together the religious perspectives of those nations with their respective success or failure as a nation, like India. Why is it that it's so divided? Why is it that there's so much poverty? Why is it, you know, these kinds of things? China, why is there such a rich culture and yet there's a major difference between those who are in power and those who are just the common man? And in the United States, the sense of equality that is there. And then, of course, I come around to the world that calls itself Islamic, and across the board, I find, and again, in every nation, that there's major division and warfare. And just from a far out perspective, you know, I'm on a telescope, I'm looking through and I'm seeing the moon. From a far out perspective, there's an immense amount of warfare in that part of the world. And I need somebody to help me to understand why it is that that's the case. Why is it clearly in the European world, there's been wars through the years consistently. I mean, World War II's massive one, you know, other ones. But this, you know, these little skirmishes that are so consistent in every single nation, and the lack of democracy, and you know, the sense of authoritarian rule. And when I look at it from a distance, I just can't get past all those things. And how am I supposed to disassociate those things from the Islamic worldview?
That's very easily explained. Number one, the gentleman who killed Yitzhak Rabin, he's a Jew, but nobody dared to call him a Jewish terrorist. But he killed the Prime Minister of Israel because he was promoting peace with the Palestinian. And he was killed by a gentleman, and that gentleman killed Yitzhak Rabin in the name of religion. He thinks he was defending the Jewish religion and the Jewish land by killing Yitzhak Rabin. But nobody dared to call him a terrorist. The gentleman in Florida who had
they wouldn't put him in jail.
No, he was in jail. They prosecuted him, but they didn't call him. No. I'm talking about labeling one group as a terrorist and associating one religion with the terrorism versus others. Let me finish.
The point is, terrorism is illegal activity. Murder is illegal activity. Call it terrorism, call it murder. I mean, in my mind, they're the same thing.
No, but you know, the way you explained it, it's like every Muslim nation, wherever Muslims are, there's terrorism. But I'm focusing now on
I'm not referring to just terrorism. I'm referring to even factions that fight against each other that have even been a little bit more politically honest about it and saying, okay, we're going to be at war with you.
Which factions? Give an example.
Even in Iraq, the clear example is the Kurds versus Saddam's guys. And then, you know, now you have the Shiites.
The Kurds are not a religious movement.
Yeah, but
the Kurds,
the Kurds are trying to fight for their own country.
They have two parts, one in Turkey, one in Iraq, and a little bit of Syria. They want to form their own country. So it's a separatist, using labels again, it's a separatist group. They want to have their own country. But we support the Kurds. The United States, our government, support the Kurds in Iraq for their freedom. But they're not supporting the Kurds in Turkey for their freedom because the Turks are our friends and allies.
Now, let me interject for a second.
In all fairness, I need to admit that even in the European world, that the greatest wars have always happened between what was perceived as being the more religious world and what was perceived as being the more atheistic world. Hitler clearly represented a non-Christian atheistic worldview, and in the United States, when it came in to rescue them, clearly seemed to represent a more religious overall moral worldview. And so I would say that there is an atheistic versus religious war that's going on around the world. Communism represented that. I'd have to agree with you that's a legitimate perspective that we need to keep in mind.
But you know, Khalil, you have a tough job.
Yeah.
Defending the actions that you're a very tough job.
No, I don't have a tough job. You know, I'm responsible about what I do. The only thing that I could do is make myself a better Muslim, understand my religion better, and explain it to everybody. Yeah. And, you know, are you responsible about the gentleman who killed Rabin? Do you support him? Do you support his views?
No, I don't support him.
Do you have to apologize for what he did?
Yes.
You apologize for what he did?
Yes, yes.
Did you apologize?
I tried to explain it.
Okay, and he's wrong. But could everybody hold you responsible for what
no,
he did?
I'm not saying you're responsible.
So this is exactly
people's view of a Muslim person with what is going on around the world.
That's because of the media and lack of understanding. For the most part,
not
you know,
just the
I,
media.
Muslims carry part of the blame also, because when you grow up in a Muslim country, you really keep the religion for yourself. So when Muslims came to this country, they really isolated themselves. True. They very rarely talk about Islam. Up to like 5 years ago, I have never talked about my religion.
Just like Jews, like the Irish when they came over, they all section off to their own.
My religion I keep to myself because if I talk about my religion openly, the thinking is I'll be intruding on your right. I mean, make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, we're about halfway through, or not quite halfway through this portion. I just want to re-identify what's going on. You're listening to the the Frederick Faith Debate. Yeah, re-identify who's on the show. John Schweitzer from Cross River Valley Chapel is representing the Christian view in this discussion. Rabbi Morris Kosman from Beth Shalom Congregation representing the view of Judaism. And Khalil El Shazli, president of the Islamic Society of Frederick, representing the view of Islam. And we launched into this 10 or 12, 13-minute discussion, this little mini-discussion here, by bringing up the name of Daniel Pipes. The rabbi thinks that Daniel Pipes is onto something.
And Khalil doesn't like him.
And John Schweitzer, from the Christian perspective, is saying, well, I'm not sure that I'm going to discount everything that Daniel Pipes has to say. He might be on the money, he might not be, but it sounds like John would maybe be putting his money more on Daniel Pipes' side than not. I think.
No, he doesn't know who he is. He's going to look at
I don't know him well enough.
He doesn't know him.
I apologize.
Well, if my understanding
of it's not
informed.
That I don't like the guy. The guy's not telling the truth.
Sure. Right. Well, what I mean by that is, okay, I should rephrase that a little bit. I'm trying to just reset here a little bit. Okay.
The guy's alerting the country to what is going on. Because most of America is like asleep. They don't remember 3 years ago with the 9/11. And the further you go away from Washington, I have a daughter living in Lancaster. I mean, they're like, you know, la-la time. Everything is wonderful. Everything is fine. And I think we need to be alerted to the dangers of what is taking place, the different cells in our country.
Daniel Pipes makes it seem that every Muslim is a danger. He doesn't want any Muslims in this country. He wants to kick them all out, not to bring any Muslims in.
That's your perception.
And this is a very hatred view. You go to his speeches and articles and
he is alarmed. I mean, he is forewarning us.
Don't forget who pays for his research also.
I know, I agree with that. There's a lot of corruption out there in general. My thing is this, and I'm actually, let me back you up here for a second, Khalil, and let me share a perspective about Judaism that's pretty common. There's a sense among most of the world that Jewish people tend to be wealthy and powerful and influential in the things
now,
that they do.
True.
That's true, says Rabbi Cosman. I took his mic, but for those that can't see.
Yeah, my car is.
and so there's a perception out there that people deal with. Part of my concern with the Jewish perspective is it comes down in this whole forgiveness thing. And I've actually heard Dr. Laura say this, that there are certain people that should never be forgiven. And from a Christian perspective, as a human, I got to forgive. And I have to be willing to forgive. And Christ, in fact, forgave the thief that was dying next to him on the cross in the famous story. And the question is, if Arafat on his deathbed had a genuine confession and denunciation of everything that he'd done and really came around, should he or should he not be forgiven? And my perspective on Judaism is that there's a little bit of an elephant never forgets and would never forgive there, that I think can tend to serve the Jewish people very poorly and end up making it look like the Jews are powerful and they're kind of unmerciful at times towards other people. And my point in saying that is that with the Palestinians, that's their perception at some level. You know, the Jews are going to get theirs, and they're, you know, if they leave us out, they could care less. And my concern is whether or not there is built into Judaism that additional perspective that not only forgives but wants to give grace to. And I'm not saying that I've never seen it, but my point is that Khalil is kind of to illustrate that I think all of our religious perspectives end up creating perceptions out there for the rest of the world that are somewhat based in fact and somewhat based in this larger perception that people just develop. And my concern is that we need to deal honestly with what those perceptions are that have developed based on what we actually believe. And in the Muslim world, there are some strong perceptions that have been developed.
But with the idea of forgiveness,
yeah,
what leads to that first is usually repentance.
Genuine
and,
repentance.
And part of what I'm hearing, I think, in the discussion is maybe there's a sense that, and again, Khalil doesn't speak for all of Islam, but I think there's a general sense that from a layman's perspective, I hear people who aren't deeply involved in their religion necessarily who feel like Islam hasn't repented, hasn't disassociated themselves with those who would claim to be fighting a religious war.
You know, there's a book out.
I disagree with your statement. You said Islam. Islam has nothing to do with the actions of whoever calls himself a Muslim or called the Muslim.
Yep.
Islam as a religion has nothing to do with what people do. Like any Christian could commit a crime, Christianity has nothing to do with it. Just as any Jewish commits a crime, Judaism has nothing to do with it.
But for example,
so we need to make that distinction very clear.
But for example, like Osama bin Laden.
Yeah. Yeah.
He claims to be a good Muslim, and he claims to be at war with the infidels.
And there are a lot of street people, Arabs, that believe him. I mean, why is it that the Palestinians grabbed Arafat's coffin, you know, and shouting in the streets? Why is it that the average person on the street, what is it in his gut that makes him, you know, even though Arafat has been so terrorist-oriented, that the average person on the street will still say, man, we like him?
Who's the average person? You mean a Palestinian?
Yeah, the average Palestinian on the
street. Leader, their only leader that they've ever had.
Yeah,
there's no such thing as Palestinian if you look up the history.
People in general look up to their leaders and support them, and sometimes they turn blind eyes.
That's true.
To,
we all do it.
You know, but let me tell you something about Islam to summarize it to those who don't know anything about Islam. There's a verse in Quran that says, "O people," doesn't address Muslim, Christians, Buddhists, Jews, whatever, all people. "O people, we have created you from a single male and female," which is Adam and Eve, and made you nations and tribes. So you meet one another. Meeting one another means interact with one another, trade with one another, live peacefully with one another.
Yeah.
Not despise one another.
Yeah.
And in the eyes of God, the most honorable amongst you are those who are pious. Pious being just, pious being peaceful,
yeah.
Pious means tolerance.
If you're pious, a Muslim.
No, it says, "O people." And that's general statement. That's why I'm going to stress on it again. "O people." So it talks to Muslim, it talks to Christian, talks to Jews, talks to Buddhist, it talks to atheist, everyone. I can't determine how good of a Jew you are, how good a Christian you are, or how good a Muslim I am. That's between you and God. All I could say is, let's live in peace. The one who's honorable amongst us, or the one who fears God the most. Fearing God is practicing your faith into action.
The problem
not
is
saying
that
one thing and do the other.
Christianity.
That's one.
My other point from
the Quran, the beliefs, because some people think that Muslims believe in the moon god or whatever. God is telling Prophet Muhammad in Quran, or say, Prophet Muhammad, we believe in God and all the books that was revealed before you, meaning Torah, King David's book, the Bible, and the Quran, and all the prophets who believe in Abraham, the offsprings of Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, and the offsprings of Isaac, Moses, Jesus, and all the other prophets that were sent before you. And there's no distinction between any of the prophets. And to God we submit. This is basically explains what Islam is.
I just got to say, I really want to believe you. I really do. And my hope is that if you are right, that you will win over all of your Islamic brothers, that you'll really live. I mean, I know you. We play on a soccer team together, indoor soccer team together, by the way, for those of you out there. He plays midfield. I don't know what I play. I'm too big to play soccer. But the point is that if that's true, I really want to believe that. Unfortunately, there's enough Islamic people out there right now that disagree with you, or that, let me put it this way, that claim to be Islamic, that disagree with you, that they're winning the day. And I hope that you, if you're being straight up with me, and I got to take it, you know, for granted that you are. I mean, I like you. I like shopping at your restaurant. By the way, that's Lily's on Rosemont Avenue.
Go, where my bell?
Yeah, yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. That was a plug.
Anyways, they deliver, by the way. They've got a great gyro. I haven't had it yet, but I heard it's great. But my point is
they have good gyros, too.
Yeah, gyros. But my point is that I want you to be true. In fact, I think Rabbi Cosman really wants that to be the case. Unfortunately, you've got a big job ahead of you. You got a lot of people to win over.
And I think one of the things that makes it difficult is there isn't a groundswell of Muslims who are denouncing those who claim to be Muslims and acting on behalf of Islam. We just don't hear a lot of that.
There are, but the media intentionally choose to ignore them. I send press releases all the time. And none of them is published.
Is there a law in Islam and in Christianity that tells you you're supposed to proselytize somebody?
Law is a good question. The Great Commission. We got to define proselytize, and that's a tough term. Certainly not.
Would you like me to be Christian? Would you like me to be Muslim?
It is. Yeah, Christianity is an evangelistic religion. Absolutely, Christ clearly commissioned his followers to make disciples. In fact, he claimed to be the only way to God, you know, the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes, and I think that Islam is the same.
Okay, yeah.
Perception.
you don't think that Islam really is a proselytizing religion?
All you can do is explain yourself. Explain your religion.
Good.
Explain what the truth is all about. All
right. Your interpretation is a very moderate one.
No, it's not moderate. You see, anyone could take anything and interpret it any way they want to.
I study
my religion very well, and I try to
practice it. Are there any
things
of violence in the Quran?
Violence? What do you mean by violence?
He would say defensively, yes.
What do you mean by violence? I mean,
if someone doesn't agree with you.
And that's an Islamic right. You have the right to speak your mind. And I will do anything to defend your right to speak your mind.
Oh, good. Okay.
And I'd like you to extend me the same courtesy.
Am I in danger as a Jew?
From what?
From Islam.
Let me tell you something. I was born in Egypt. My oldest brother, my oldest sister, and three of my family members were born in Cairo in a predominantly Jewish neighborhood. When my mom was pregnant, that was me.
Yeah. Oh.
That house was about to collapse, so we moved to another area, or my parents moved to another area. And that area was predominantly Christian area, even it's called Deir el-Malak, which is the Church of Angels. That's the neighborhood that I grew up in, and we still have the apartment there over 44 years. And most of my friends are Jews and Christians in Egypt, and religion is never, ever, ever an issue.
So the answer to the rabbi's
tolerance,
question is no?
Just look at Palestine, for example. It was under the Islamic rule for over 1,000 years. There was never conflict. Everybody lived peacefully until the Crusaders came in and started killing everybody. But under the Islamic law guarantees each one the right to worship God the way they want to, guarantees your right to own anything you want to, guarantees your right to speak your mind. That's what true Islam is about. True Islam is not what people try to betray Islam the way they see it or through their own eyes.
Well, that's going to end up having to be the final word for this show. These shows just aren't long enough. This is there's so much, you know, there was a deluge of water. We were trying to grab a drop of it, and I'm not sure if we succeeded, but I hope that the three of you would be willing to come on again at some point so we can continue this. This has been thoroughly enjoyable and educational to some degree. And you couldn't hear that, but the rabbi said, no way. Well, I hope he's just kidding. Thank you for listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD.